Let's just lift our hands to the Lord. Give us faith, Lord Jesus, to trust you, God. To believe in your word, Lord God, because you are good. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you would stand with me for the reading of the word, turn to Psalm 23. Hallelujah. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 23, a very familiar psalm. If you're already there, you can add, put your finger there and also get 37 of Psalms. Amen. It is fall. Praise God. I know that means it leads to winter. Sorry. But hey, it is not hot. And my wife is already freezing. Poor girl. Pray for her. Pray for my wife. Amen. Psalm 23. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Amen. And then in Psalms 37, chapter 37, verse 23, it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Amen. Tonight we're going to talk on the subject beside still waters. Amen. Beside still waters. Let's just pray. There's an atmosphere in here. Let's just ask the Lord now to speak to our hearts. We've prepared ourselves. Let's just ask the Lord to speak to us. God, we thank you so much, God, for your presence, Lord, that we feel in this place, God. Lord Jesus, God, I pray, Lord God, as the atmosphere has been set, as we have lifted our voices in praise and adoration, that we have prepared our hearts for your word, and I pray, speak to us tonight. Speak to us, Jesus, I pray, through your word, Lord God, every heart, every mind, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Pastor just got done preaching the Almost series. And he based it on the story of King Agrippa, who told Paul how he had almost persuaded him to be a Christian. This past Sunday morning, Pastor explored the possible reasons why Agrippa may have not made the step to go all in. These are the types of messages, church, that we need to chew on. Not just respond in the moment, but we need to take them home and chew on them. And I hope you've gone home and been introspective in your walk with the Lord, in where you're at with Christ. We need to ask ourselves the question, am I in the almost category in an area of my life? And if so, why am I personally there? Why am I personally there? Because there's many reasons why we may be there. I must admit, looking at my own life, there are areas of almost. I was meeting with a group of young adults a week ago, and we were discussing the topic of total surrender, and one of our discussion questions was, what are areas that you have a hard time surrendering, and why? And we had a discussion on that. And so this has been on my heart since you started this series, Pastor, and one of those statements that was made, I believe, in the first message of the series was about the fear that one can have that if I submit 100%, what if I don't like where God leads me? What if he leads me a direction I don't want to go? I don't want to go to Africa, God. Folks, that's real life for me. Why? Because I grew up on the mission field. And there have been times where I literally have not wanted to commit fully because I was deathly afraid of being called to missionary work. Being honest, didn't want to do it. And there's been times I've faced that. About a month ago, I was really having a rough week mentally, just about a lot of different things going on in our lives, worrying about if God knew what he was doing. And he led me to our opening scriptures. I want to read them again. Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Psalms 37, 23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." God ministered to my heart through those scriptures that week, once again, and reminding me that he will lead us beside still waters, and that our steps are ordered by him. And so why do we struggle in that almost category? Right up front, before God can lead us beside still waters, we have to allow him to lead us. He doesn't drag us to still waters. He leads us. And we have to be willing to be led. And so tonight I'm going to come from the assumption that we're willing to be led. If you're not willing to be led, well, that's something that you need to pray about. Now, hopefully you got that out of the almost series that we have and you're seeking the Lord about that. But I'm coming from the assumption that we're willing to be led. So what stops us from going all in? What stops us? I felt impressed tonight to speak about what I've learned through my own experiences the past 4 years, my testimony, so to speak. It is not one of deliverance from drugs, but a testimony of learning that God wants to lead us beside still waters. A story that many are probably familiar with, I've talked about, but we're going to cover some of the things again. 4 years ago in May of 2011, Fiona had just graduated from school, from college. And what happens when you're married and schooling is done? That's right, you have kids, you buy a house, you live happily ever after. Next phase goes into motion then after Fiona's done, and we're just expecting boom, 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 things are going to fall into place and everything's going to be great. A year later, in May of 2012, after a year of trying to have kids, our hopes and dreams seemingly came crashing down when we found out that I couldn't produce a child from a medical standpoint. I've talked about this before, but there was nothing I could do about it. You can't tell your body to start working. I don't know if anyone's been successful in that, like, you know, without prayer, obviously, but like, okay, start work, you know. It doesn't work that way. Through a whole lot of circumstance that I don't have time to go into, we decided to just trust God and let him lead us. And you know what happened? Nothing. For 2 years, we waited for a miracle. We waited for direction, and there was nothing. Then out of the blue, on September 21st, 2014, last fall, a year and 2 days ago, in a Sunday AM service, God spoke to Fiona and I and finally gave us direction in telling us to push on the door of adoption. We began the process in January. We were approved in mid-March, and last week we hit the 6 months of waiting mark. Tonight, as I look back, I want to share the areas that were personally challenging to Fiona and I to really allow him to lead us. Things that really challenge us to be all in, so to speak. And I pray our situation, our testimony helps someone here tonight. And it's most likely with you not an infertility issue, but these challenges are universal across the board of what we are facing. And the first hurdle we had to cross was the question, why? We will naturally want to know where we are going and why we're going there. We have such knowledge, and we are so overloaded with information in this country that when there's no reason behind where God is leading us, it's a very difficult thing culturally wise because we've been ingrained to know things. Oftentimes, the leading of the Lord comes with no explanation. We can't just Google it. I tried today. Unfortunately, Siri is not going to help us. I asked her if she knew why God is taking me in the direction he's taking us, and she wouldn't even talk about it. I mean, what's the use of a personal assistant on my smartphone if they're not going to help me with, you know, understanding God? I mean, come on. I'm going back to the flip phone. Come on now. The reality is that we may never know why God leads us where he leads us. We may never know the reason, and that's very hard for folks to accept, myself included. Why did my baby-making abilities at one time most likely work, but then out of the blue stop? Why did God not give us clear direction for 2+ years? Why all of a sudden it's, okay, push on the door? I'm a planner. I'm an organizer. The unanswered questions are so very difficult because we want to know the answers before we go all in. We want to say, okay, God, show me which still waters you're leading me beside, so I can make sure that there's still waters and it's not just a joke and you're like, you know, a cruel joke, like, ha-ha, psych, you know. Isaiah 55:9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Essentially, check your ego at the door and just trust that God knows what he's doing. I heard it said something similar to this once. If a parent gives instruction to a child and the child asks why they should do that, the true answer may in fact be too deep, too much over their head, too much for that child to really understand why they are being instructed that way, even if you told them the reason. And I believe there are things that if God really gave us the answer, we have no clue what he's talking about. It would blow our minds or it would scare us half to death. And so we definitely would not let him lead us. And so we have to just trust when there is no explanation. But that's a challenge. It's a challenge for us to go all in. So we find out that we can't have kids. And in the following next couple months, I went down a path of trying a route of taking this drug to hopefully kickstart my system. But made the decision to forego that. And we finally came to a place where we just said, you know what, God, this situation is yours. We don't understand. We don't get it. There's a lot of questions, God. But we overcame that challenge, and we're not going to try to understand. It's yours, God. Now lead us. Lead us, Lord. We're fully on board. And then there was silence. It's like, lead us, Lord. Lead us, Lord. Lead us, Lord. Lead us. No response. I mean, you think if you finally get over like a trust issue like that, that God would be like, ha, ha, yes, here's where you should go. But no, there was silence. Silence. I mean, the options were clear. Number one, miracle baby. Number two, foster and or adopt through the foster system. Number three, adopt through an adoption agency. Or number four, God doesn't want us to have children. Those are really the only options in the situation that we're facing. And you know what? God didn't pick one of those. He just stayed quiet. And it's like, is there going to be a miracle baby? And we heard messages and, you know, try to be encouraged, like, hold on to your promise. We never had a promise. So it's like, okay. And it's just like, well, God, I mean, what about foster? We could try. And there was no pushing. There was no direction. There was no leading, no guiding. And so it's just like, okay, are we just stuck here? And guess we're not going to have children. Lord, I guess you're not going to say anything. Okay. Looking back, we realize that he was indeed leading us individually, helping us grow through this situation, working some core issues out in us. But there was silence on this front. Do you know how challenging that is? Anyone experience the silence of God? That's challenging. Not to say, you know what? Okay, since you're being quiet, you know, you obviously blessed me with a good mind, so I'm just going to make a decision and just go down a path. That's very challenging not to do. You finally submitted to not asking questions and wanting to know the reason, and you're handing it over to him, and then he doesn't tell you where to go. Psalms 46:10-11, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. But I don't want to be still. Yes, I want to be beside still waters, but I want to, there's a being led part of that, and that indicates that there is some moving forward and not just sitting there. It's another level of trusting in God. Will I trust him even when he doesn't tell me the next step to take? Will I just move on and take things into my own hands, or will I just sit in the silence and wait on God? Looking back at our options, I couldn't make a miracle baby. But we sure could have just pursued foster adoption on our own. It would have been very easy to just take action ourselves. But you know what? We held on to our previous decision, that previous level of trust that we've given this to God, even if he wasn't going to say anything about it. Psalms 27, verse 13, David says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. David's saying, I would have given up. I would have gone my own way unless I had believed that in the midst of the silence, in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the uncertainty, that something good from God was coming down the road, was coming down the road. He exhorts us to wait on God, even if he's silent. And that's our second challenge. This leads us to the next challenge, which is the timing of God. I don't know about you, but God has horrible timing. Horrible timing in my mind. It's like, what's up, God? Like, hello? How often in Scripture do we see a phrase similar to, and when the fullness of time had come? The reality is that God does indeed have perfect timing, even if it doesn't make sense to us. The challenge is that most likely his timing doesn't match our timing. So I look at our situation. Why wait 2.5 years to push on the door of adoption? And I've heard this response and the logical answer, because he has the perfect little one for you. Agreed. But that doesn't help. Why couldn't the perfect one be one of the many that are given up for adoption 2 years ago? Why did I have to wait for this perfect one? Because children are wonderful and a gift of God. And it's like, why 2.5 years, God? Why make us sit? It doesn't make sense. God, I'm 36 now. Are you sure you know what you're doing? And my life is going to be like crazy. Thank you, Lord. You're sure? Why not when I was 34? I remember it was like 4 to 5 months after we found out we couldn't have kids from a medical standpoint. And then most likely again at the 6 to 7 month mark. And honestly, probably again at the 9 to 10 month mark, where I was like, God, it's been 4 months. God, I don't know why you won't lead us. I don't know why what you want to do in our lives. Why won't you talk to us? What should we do? It's been 4 months, God. It's been 6 months. And God was like, Phil, Moses, 40 years on the backside of the desert before I had told him to go back to Egypt. It's kind of like, touche, God. Well, Moses. But it stilled my heart. Okay, God. All right, I'm pitiful. It's been 3-4 months. 40 years. Got it. The timing of God is a major challenge to being led beside still waters. The final challenge that I have personally faced in going all in is the fear of the unknown. What if God doesn't ever give us a miracle baby? What if he doesn't want us to have children? As a minister, I had the thought at one point, how could I ever relate or help parents without my own kids? What would they think of me like? Why are you trying to help us? You don't have kids. You don't understand. Church, we're a nation full of worry. We worry about everything. I'll keep this brief because Pastor preached a whole message last month about don't worry, be happy. But this is a big challenge in going in all in for the Lord. But it's another level of trust. We go from trusting God even though we don't understand, to trusting God even he is silent, to trusting God in his timing, and another level of trusting God with the unknown. One major hurdle of adoption through an agency is the financial cost. I felt in my spirit to try and have the finances in order by the end of the summer this year so we wouldn't have to worry about that aspect and put it behind us. We did an online fundraising effort over the summer. with the final date being the end of August. You may have seen our posts on social media. We had personally cut our budget since April so that we could put everything toward the adoption process and our fund. And so you're aware we're talking a total needing to be in place over $20,000. A lot of money. We were on target with our personal goals, but the online stuff that was going to augment it wasn't coming as quickly as we would have liked. And then in early August, I don't know if you remember Brother Gibbs from the country of Malawi was here. Talked about the need of the country and those tents to have crusades in. And after morning service, he was going to be there tonight. Fiona said to me, I want to give. And so I was like, oh, yeah, me too, you know. What are you thinking? Like, you know, a couple $100? You know, because I'm thinking we're coming close, God, to the end of August. And, you know, and she's no, I want to buy a tent. And I'm like, before I could start thinking and be logical and let all the challenges that we talked about come into play, I'm like, okay, I wrote a check, $4,000. We don't have $4,000 sitting around. We had $4,000 in our adoption fund. And it was that week that was such a hard week, and probably where God ministered these scriptures to me about still waters. And as I struggled with those what ifs, God, what if we don't have enough when the time comes now? Because we gave. Why would you ask us to give? And you know, God has blessed us and has spoken to us about giving, but this is one of the first times where it's just like, you didn't speak to me, you spoke to my wife, God, because I probably wasn't ready for this, but are you sure? Like, what if all this fear and all this unknown, and by the next week, the answer had fully come. First, during the week, a grandma, we don't even know, but is connected through Kids Depot, dropped a kid, a crib, a changing table, a bookcase, and a glider off about $600 worth of nursery furniture, and she didn't want anything for it. We hadn't planned on, we didn't know what we were going to do on the crib and all that stuff, because again, it's down the road. We're not worrying about that aspect, but God provided all that. Then that next Saturday, I was out at lunch with Jordan and his friend. I'm sorry. She is just a friend for a few more days. But we were sitting at lunch. We went out to the farmer's market, went to Ian's Pizza, and we were sitting there just hanging out and felt my phone buzz, and I was like, well, I usually don't check emails when I'm out and about, but I just randomly checked it. And it was an email from an individual that they wanted to give financially to us directly, not through our fundraising site. And the amount from that one email combined with our final online efforts took care of every single penny that we would need. God's word is a lamp unto our feet, one step at a time. All we can clearly see is the next step. When God said give, and we took that one step, he knew that a week later, everything was going to be okay. But that whole week, let me tell you, Fiona was fine. I was freaking out inside. And I'm like, I don't get this, God. All the fear of the unknown. But God knew it all along. Why? Because I could only see this next step, which was give. Couldn't see beyond that. Couldn't see what he had around the corner. But it's a big challenge to just let go. But we've got to do it if we're going to be all in and be led by the still waters. We now have a rule in the Demos household that has come out of the last 4 years and that week. We don't say what if. Well, what if? No. We don't say what ifs in this family. Why? Because there are things that are beyond our control. There will always be on things beyond our control. But we are not going to live in fear of the unknown. We are going to trust God and eliminate what if out of this household. Hallelujah. Here's what I found out in Scripture and why we should go all in and just let the Lord lead us beside still waters and let him order our steps. In regards to our first challenge of wanting to know the reasons, there's a lot of peace not having to know the reasoning behind everything when God is leading us. It's just like, I don't know, talk to God. I don't have to worry about it. Psalms 25, 8 through 10, it so goes against our normal thinking about just letting God do his thing. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in their way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Verse 10, the word paths refers to the well-worn paths of caravans, the deep ruts that appear from constant travel. You know it's a well-traveled road by the path because you can clearly see it. Mercy and truth are the paths the Lord walks in regards to his children. He is continually merciful with us, withholding his judgment. And everything is based in truth. That word truth there means stability or a trustworthiness. What a blessed assurance that God is in control and we can have peace not having to worry about why something is going the way it's going or why God is leading us a certain direction. We have to hold on to scriptures like Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an unexpected end. Psalms 37:13, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. He's ordering our steps, and it takes the pressure off. If we're letting him lead us, it takes the pressure off. Why is this happening? Don't have to worry about it. God's in control. And that's very, very hard, but it can be done. We hold on to scripture. When we face the challenge of silence, I've come to know that God is still there working on my behalf. I don't have the time to go into all the little things that happened throughout the last 4 years. That when we look back, we realize God truly had his hand upon us even when he was silent. But Psalms 48:14, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Forever and ever, he'll be our guide. Isaiah 30. Verses 20 and 21, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, though things come out on you, though the pressures of life come, though the trials come, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. He is going to be our guide. He will never leave us, the Bible says, nor forsake us. There's going to be that still small voice saying, go this way, go that way. I'm in this. Don't worry about it. Hallelujah. And I found that God's timing, as I said, is actually perfect. I think back to 3 years ago, if God had said to go as far as adoption process, we would still be driving our 96 Acura Legend trying to figure out how in the world we're going to keep a baby safe in that thing. We wouldn't have our home that God has blessed us with since then. We wouldn't have had the spiritual growth that we've experienced in the last 3 years as God has worked on our core issues. I look at us now and it's like, you know, we try to make logic of things afterwards. Okay, this makes sense now, God. I still don't know exactly why, but my God, it's like, I'm ready. God, whatever timing you have, whatever you want, whatever the path is going to go, whatever the situation, we're ready spiritually, and our home is in order, and finances, where it's just like, God, it's just, to me now, logically, because I think logically, it's like, the timing is perfect. I don't know why it's his time, why he chose now, but to me, it's just like, God is working things out. His timing is perfect. Ecclesiastes 3:11, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Sometimes we rush things, and what was supposed is in essence a good thing. For example, adopting a child. In my mind, 3 years ago, it would have been a disaster, a very good thing. But looking back, I know in my heart, if we had pushed on that door ourselves and just done it ourselves, it wouldn't have been the timing of the Lord. Don't know where it would have led us. But in its time, it's beautiful. Lamentations 3:25 through 26, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It's that old gospel song said, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. May not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. In regards to the fear of the unknown, I encourage again you to go listen to Pastor's message in August titled, Don't Worry, Be Happy. But to sum it up, Matthew 6:34, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Don't worry about the what ifs of tomorrow. And as Pastor challenged us, just let God be God. Don't worry about things you can't control. Well, what if the stock market it crashes. We can't do anything about it. Well, I'm going to get gold. Well, what if, like, your gold gets stolen or something? I mean, there's your what if logically your what ifs can go, like, what if it goes crazy and your retirement goes, you know, the what ifs, it's just, forget the what ifs. Base your life on truth, on the word of God, not worrying about tomorrow. Hallelujah. You can do it. This is my testimony, being on the other side of most things now. So what does being led beside still waters look like? I've biked around Marshall, and there's a lake back along Canal Road, kind of the north side of Marshall, and that water is typically completely smooth like glass. And it was such a wonderful word picture to my spirit a few months back when I was biking. You don't have to worry about a thing. This is how God operates. He'll lead you in that calm, in that peace. It's not rough waves. It's you know God is speaking when there's peace about it. If there's confusion, if there's uncertainty, if it's like, I don't know, you need to just keep praying and don't act. Let God's peace just beside the still waters. He will provide. He knows what he's doing. He's got the perfect timing. And when it's time, it's time. And things will just unfold right before you. A few more testimonies, and then I'll close. Fiona and I got married 11 years ago. For our first year of marriage, we lived in Pastor Roy's old house in the downstairs apartment. And 1 year in, they decide to sell their house. We're just newlyweds. It's like, whoa. We're freaking out. We looked and looked and looked and looked and looked and looked, and we couldn't find anything. And especially when we hadn't found anything. We had about a month to go. Lots of pressure, lots of challenges. Just because God leads you beside the still water doesn't mean there's things going on around you. It's learning how to just trust in God, let him lead you. But anyways, it was craziness. And we had seen this listing in the paper, and it was a paper back then, probably no internet. But anyways, we had seen this listing, and we had just ignored it just for various reasons. Like, no, that's not a, you know, we don't want to be in that area type thing. And I don't know, we were looking at it again, and it was just like, maybe we should check that out. So we drove by, and we're like, oh, this is what we thought it was, you know. And so we're like, called them up. We walk in, took a five-minute tour, felt the Lord say, you're home. We asked for an application, went outside in the car, filled it out, drove it over to the landlord person's house, dropped it in their mailbox illegally. Hopefully the post office didn't find out. Without a stamp, you know, and just put it there. And within a couple of days, we were approved and in our home in a month. God just led us beside still waters. Was it turbulent? Oh, there was craziness. But looking back, and that's oftentimes what happens is you look back and you're like, man, that was smooth. That was smooth sailing, even though in the midst, you're like, ah. In early 2013, after being in that apartment for 9 years, we started going to open houses just to get a taste of down the road in our minds. No thought of buying, but we got a realtor because we wanted to see houses that didn't have the open house option. And we weren't 100% looking to buy a house, but just wanted to see what was out there, what we would like. Lo and behold, house comes on the market on a Thursday or Friday. We say, hey, can we look at it? Our realtor's whole backstory, asked me if you want to know the craziness about it. It's just amazing. I know the house. We looked at it Monday, made an offer Wednesday, and a week after it was put on the market, we had an accepted offer. And it was just like, we sat there in noodles when we got the call, and I was like, did we really just buy a house after a week? And again, it was just like, boom, 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 boom. Yeah, stress. That's a huge decision. But it was like, boom, 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 boom. Still waters. 2 years ago, our car was requiring more money to fix it than what we wanted to put into it anymore. That beautiful Acura Legend, I loved it. But I'm not a mechanic, so cars stress me out. And so we started looking at Craigslist. We're in Marshall by that time. Saw a car in Marshall listed on Wednesday or Thursday. Test drove it Friday. Owned it on Saturday. God leading beside still waters. We came home and we're like, okay, God. And it was like $2,500 below Blue Book. I mean, it was just like, that was way too easy, God. Did we just do something dumb, like without, or was that you really leading us? But it was just a smooth peace. Boom, boom, boom. It shouldn't be that easy. I still can't wrap my head around how everything has fallen into place time and time and time again. God just leading beside still waters. One final testimony of God leading behind still waters. The rest of the story, so to speak. September 21st, 2014, last fall, God told us to push on the door of adoption. We were approved in mid-March with an estimated time of 2 to 3 year wait for a Caucasian child and 1 to 2 years for a biracial child. We're on both those lists. 6 months of waiting later, 1 year and 1 day after God told us to go, yesterday, a young birth mother named Kyla selected us. And our baby boy is due to be born in 5 weeks from today, October 28th. God leading beside still waters. Thought it was a joke a year ago. But again, it was, all right, God, I don't understand the reasoning. God, you're being quiet about this. Is this really going to happen? When is it going to happen? God, when's the timing? And all that time, I look back, and God's like, hey, you need to be done with finances by August. Why? I had no clue why. I just felt it like, let's just get this done. God knew. The check from the online thing arrived last week, and this week accepted. All the unknowns, what ifs? What if I'm too old and crabby for a child? Yeah, here we are, 5 weeks away. Lord help us. Psalms 32, 8 and 9. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. As musicians come, the horse and mule have to be forced to go one way or another based on the bit and bridle. I'm sure there's exceptions to the rule, and there's wonderful little horses. First time I ever rode a horse was in the Netherlands. My dad thought it would be cool to take us missionary kids to go ride horses. I had never done it before. I was like, I don't know, 12, 13. We get to this farm out in the sticks of the Netherlands. They didn't really have sticks, but it was like smooth and windmills. But we're there, and the farmer comes out, and we have no clue what he's talking. I've literally never ridden a horse in my life. And he brings his horse out, and it's bucking and bucking and bucking. He's like, oh, get on the horse. I'm assuming that's what he said. And I'm like, are you sure? And you know what? I got on, and I know what when a horse wants to run, it runs. Thank God it ran across the field into the riding pen and not across the field and out to the next, 30 miles down the road. And I was just riding and riding in the horse pen, and I just felt myself sliding. And I finally jumped off because I felt I was going to get trampled. And then he wanted me to get it back on, and I've never ridden a horse since. A horse wants to do what he wants to do. A mule is known as being a stubborn animal. And it needs that bit and bridle to say, no, you're going this way, whether you want to or God is not like that. He won't force you, like, you will come to these still waters whether you like it or not. No. He'd be like, come on, I'll lead you. I'm not going. Okay. Psalms 32 continues on. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. We need to be all in and let God lead us beside still waters. Yes, there may be unknowns. Yes, there may be silence. Yes, you may have to wait. Yes, there may be a whole bunch of what ifs in your mind, the fear of the unknown. But all through your journey, there's going to be peace. There's going to be blessings. It's going to be the perfect timing. And things are going to happen as God leads you beside still waters. Won't you stand with me? I want to encourage you. You know, we challenge, Pastor challenged us to be all in. And there are a lot of questions when it comes to the reality of us giving everything. Fears, uncertainties. I've never done that before. Just give up my own dreams and passions and talents and say, okay, God, whatever you want me to do. There's a lot, but there's some still waters, and I want to encourage you tonight. And you may not feel it, but man, if you just continue to trust in God, you're going to look back 6 months from now and be like, man, that was smooth. Man, that was easy. He didn't take me to Africa when my heart wasn't ready for it. He just led me and guided me. So won't you find a place to pray? Maybe you haven't even trusted him in the initial stages of saying, okay, God, I'm going to trust you and put it all beside me. Maybe you've done that, but there's silence, and that's the level of trust you have to learn. Or maybe you have to learn in the trust of the perfect timing. Whatever it may be, maybe you're dealing with what ifs. Give those what ifs to God. Just release them. Take the pressure off yourself. Won't you come and find a place to pray tonight? Won't you come and talk to the Lord and say, God, I want you to lead me. I want you to lead me beside still waters. What's in it in me that, Lord God, is preventing that stillness to be in my life? He's going to take you higher. above the storms. If we let Him be King of our lives. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, won't you find a place to pray? Oh, won't you just let God be God in your life?